Welcome to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I am Steven.
And today we are talking about, we're talking about comedy, but we're also kind of talking about comedy culture.
Yeah.
Because I have been thinking about this, and I'm a comic. Amanda's a comic. Mm-hmm. Steven could be a comic, but...
We normally have Zane on here who's also a comic.
Who is also a comic. Zane is a sober comic,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is, I would love to be a sober comic.
Yeah.
But comedy culture is so entwined with drinking.
Yeah, it's mostly at bars or comedy clubs where you have a two-item minimum. So it's like it revolves around alcohol no matter what.
Yeah.
Unless it's in a coffee shop during the day. And sometimes those mics are really awkward. Sometimes they're good.
Yeah, sometimes they're good, but sometimes they're just really...
Yeah, when the sun's out.
People are like, why is this person on a microphone... saying cuss words to
me. There's daytime comedy and there's nighttime comedy.
Yeah, doing comedy doing comedy while the sun is out does make me want to drink. I'm like, get me out of here.
Rough. This is a brunch show in a dark gay bar. Then it's fine. Then you get outside and you're like, oh god, what have we done?
What are we doing? I said those things. What time is it? Not even 7.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
2:30.
There's real people out here. they're still in work clothes.
Yeah.
Sheesh. But it's wild because it's like I can't. There's so many things where drinking is part of the culture, and I get that. Like I know the music industry can be very
because it's also in bars or
also
clubs.
Also bars, also clubs.
Two at a minimum sometimes. Things like that. Very similar as far as the venues they perform at.
Yeah, but it's just weird because it's like alcohol makes us all so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, like, that's the other thing is that, like, sometimes I worry, like, if I'm in a bar and I'm having like a really great set,
mm-hmm.
at a certain point, I'm like, what time of night is it? And how drunk are these people? And am I actually funny? Like, and it's just like, but then I'll try a joke somewhere else, and it doesn't quite land the same way. And I'm just like, those people were drunk. They were drunk. Or maybe you guys are too drunk to get this. Like,
or maybe I was drunk.
Maybe
I said things differently.
Maybe
more
comfortably. Maybe I was a little more loose with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the worst. It seems like the most detrimental thing to the art, like in like a weird way. It's like it's like both a social lubricant and then it's also like a hindrance.
Well, yeah, I mean you're dating a sober comic. And Rochelle Cochran, I remember when she was first starting out, like, you know, we would drink together and stuff, and she talks about how she doesn't drink alcohol anymore, and one of her jokes is like, mm-hmm. when you stop drinking before you do stand-up comedy, you can hear the silences a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it turns out I wasn't always crushing it, I was just drunk and like loud, and it's like that happens too. You don't
Yeesh.
Like when you're sober, you're like, oh, people really didn't like that, I gotta work on it. When you're drunk, you're like, who cares what you people think? We're all drunk anyways. And like you don't remember the next day. Or you do and you're like, we all were drunk, who cares?
Well,
you
know? And then it's just like or like on sometimes what I think is worse is like Kyle has said to me, he's like, you don't do that joke the same way. You're not wording it the same way. And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, well, like last week you said it this way. And I was like, I don't remember that.
Mm.
And he's like, and it got a really big response. And I was just like, dang it.
That's why it's nice to like do open mics with a comic, because they'll catch that stuff when you don't. Do you record your open mic?
I should.
I used to be weird about only recording something if I thought it was like a bigger deal. And this is before like people were actually filming. But like the audio, I wouldn't. And then I just realized it helped so much if I didn't do that, because every time I didn't record, it was like so much better, I felt like, because it was like some psychological thing about this matters.
Yeah,
it means something.
Yeah.
So I just like, I always record. The thing is, I never listen to them unless I'm like, I did that differently than normally do, and I don't know what I said.
Right.
It's perfect for those moments. I'll go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
And then now that's part of the act, because it was something I said like randomly off the cuff that I've never said before, and I won't ever say it again unless I have proof.
Right.
And I can
hear
it and go, oh, that's why.
Oh, that did work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is.
You never have to listen, just record it all the time.
Yeah. And that's like something that I should have the presence of mind to do when I'm at an open mic, because I've been hearing this saying going around, because we've always heard practice makes perfect, which is not true.
Permanent, and that's what my dad
makes
would say.
Permanent,
it doesn't make it perfect.
Practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're practicing, you have to do it right.
Yeah.
Like if you learn how to do it the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna do it the wrong way
totally
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like I think that's another thing. It's just like if you show up to an open mic strictly to like have some drinks and then get on a mic,
Yeah.
It's just like, that's just going to be what comedy part is of it. To you.
It's going
to
be weird
point.
If you don't. I stopped drinking for a little bit and I felt like I had to relearn because I got used alcohol to get over stage fright.
Yeah.
So when I wasn't drinking, I was like so nervous and so scared. And then I had to remind myself, like, you've done this thousands of times. Even if you don't remember, the act of you coming up here and just saying what's on your mind, you've done it so many times, like, it shouldn't be scary just because you're sober.
Yeah.
And then it got easier. And then I feel like I was a little bit sharper and a little bit better.
I know, yeah.
And I got a little loose again.
Whoopsies. But it's just coming to this point where I'm just like, am I doing this right? I should. I think it's time to be sober again. But it is so difficult.
Yeah.
It is so in the culture.
Yeah.
I wish Zane was here. We picked the wrong time to talk about that.
You know, it's interesting because I've had this discussion a lot of times about the nature of art. Mm. So imagine this. There's somebody and they really are into like clothing design. They know what good clothing design is. I want to learn to sew and I want to learn to design. And so they design their first thing. And what's the first thing they think? This is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
How do they know? Because they have a good eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now they're trying to do it and it's horrible. Now, if you are trying to get over your fear and you're using alcohol or drugs to get over the fear, yeah, you'll get over the fear, but also you'll miss a lot of stuff because the whole thing is to confront the quality of what you've done and think about, you know what good is. And so if you record all the time, but then don't worry about the recording, it's just there for you if you need it.
I'll never listen to it, and it's very rare that I will.
I used to be able to record a long time ago. So when I play with my friends, they'd set up microphones and it was almost like you start playing for the recording. And the thing is, sometimes you just have to do it for the room. But if you're trying to improve, if you really are trying to improve, it's good to record. It's there if you need it. But the thing is, having the guts to get on stage is tough enough. And a lot of people get there with some alcohol.
Yeah. Right.
But it's having the guts to go up and do the best you can, knowing that it's going to be bad, knowing it's going to be bad for a while, but that you keep at it and you really pay attention to what is and what isn't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how you get it. And also, you know, there's if you go back to the really analog basic days, there were comics who'd buy 3x5 index cards by the truckload.
Yeah.
And they're just constantly writing down every thought they have. And then they start organizing jokes about going shopping, jokes about food, jokes about your friends.
Yeah.
And so if you can just screw up the courage to analyze what you're doing, you know, and not get too caught in the weeds, which is hard, you can improve.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing too, is it's just like the drinking at mics, it's like I was at a mic last night and it was rough. It was rough.
Wasn't Kyle guest hosting a mic last night?
Yes, okay, he was.
I know the venue you're talking about, and it can definitely be rough in there.
It was rough in there.
Regulars can get a little saucy.
There were plenty of regulars who were trying their hand. But I was just like, and I had a couple
like
cocktails.
Like heckling or trying to do stand-up?
Trying to do the stand-up. Signing up, heckling, doing the whole nine.
Oh God.
And I had a couple cocktails, and then I got up there, and I was like, well, that actually didn't help at all. I was like, this is still... Mm-hmm. miserable. Then it was just like what was the point of that entire like why did I I'd rather be sober for this so I could be in my body and make a connection. It was weird. We're gonna come right back to this to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I am Steven.
Come back.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Welcome Welcome back to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Mandolin Deal.
And I am still Steven.
Yes, you are. And we're just kind of talking about kind of like open mics and just like we're back on this creative process discussion, mm-hmm. which I love. I love talking about that kind of stuff because it's like you have clarity about the process when you're not drinking. So it's just kind of like one of those things where it's like it's fun. And it's like when you're not drinking, usually you get a little bored. Like quitting a substance always comes with boredom. And that's usually what leads to relapse, I think, for a lot of people is boredom. But I think Stephen was talking about collaboration. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about that with the comedy competition with the Helium's Portland's Funniest Person.
Yeah.
And how good we probably all would be if we if we were just like, let's all write our sets together. Yeah. We actually used to write with Jaron George a lot. Mm-hmm. And we would go out to a coffee shop. And Jaron, because I think Jaron has like improv experience, I think. And so he has all of these cool, like mind-opening ideas, mm-hmm. where he's like, okay, like he works out his brain. He actually does these things. I used to love doing that.
Yeah.
Like I used to absolutely love doing that. I think some of my best material came out of that.
I should definitely do it again.
We should probably do it again.
Mm-hmm. What, I mean, I don't know that, you know, this, I don't believe there's a one-to-one ratio with this, but you know, think about like psychological studies. They have gotten animals addicted to substances and then got them off the substances. And what they will often cite is the fact that as soon as they have other animals to be around, they kind of are okay with forgetting about the substance.
Yeah.
I think humans aren't as easy as that, but there is something to be said for if you have a community, do you need that drink when you want to talk to your friend, or you're like, I got this idea, I want to work this idea, like I'll hold the drink just for a little while.
Yeah.
And then, but then you're still going to go work in a club where they're encouraging the customers to drink. They're living and dying on the alcohol sales.
Yeah.
It's a really tough situation.
It is. Yeah. And it's also like kind of like it seems to me that like the better a comic gets, usually they like I feel will eventually go into a sober spell, mm-hmm. which reminds me of a study. I can't remember exactly how it went, but they had a colony of monkeys, and monkeys develop social hierarchies, and they gave the one on the lowest end cocaine, and I can't, or they gave him access to cocaine, and I think he was like doing a lot of it. So it's like, I don't know if there's actually like a social hierarchy in comedy or in the Portland scene. I think there's certainly
there always
like,
is in every single there scene. Isn't. People have been doing it longer, have more accolades, have more perceived credits, power, whether that's true or not, or credits. Yeah.
So it's like
some places really enforce it though, like you know who's the top, and some it's just like, oh, those people have more credits and more, you know,
they
experience,
have more time doing it,
and
yeah.
they're cool about it or whatever. Yeah.
There's plenty of people who are very chill about it.
Yeah,
there's plenty of people who are not.
Portland is more chill than other cities I've been.
Portland
to.
Portland is
that, but,
much more chill than other cities we've been to. It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
It's more community than competition. Yeah. That's what I say a lot.
It really
people
is.
People ask me about Portland versus Chicago. I'm like, Chicago, which is really competitive, and got to a point where like it didn't feel there was really that much of a community. I made friends, but not. I didn't make it. It was a community sense in the comedy scene when I was there, 2012 to 2016. But moved to Portland, and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, people like wanted to collaborate more and work together and tell you had a good set, not like because they're trying to blow smoke up your butt, but also because they were just like, wow, that was really good. I love this joke about that.
Yeah, and that
like,
was
You're like, oh, okay, you're listening. Feedback. All right.
Oh wow, I actually achieved something at this open mic. Mm-hmm. Something happened that I came here to wanting it happen. But it's wild how much more we are a lot more collaborative than I think any other places, and that's why I think we're also a lot funnier at the base level than a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing the roast battles a lot lately, but I watch the roasts from other cities because we're associated with LA.
Okay,
let me tell you, LA roasts, they suck.
That's
LA
very competitive
roasts are
as well.
Bad. Yeah. The roasts are bad. They have like one headlining match and it's always the same like 10 people from down there just kind of like roasting the same like big names from other cities or whatever. And but like most of those artists, I was just like, I was like, does anybody talk about this? Like, is anybody like working together on that? Because I wrote an article, and I literally like, I was like, when I got the hang of roasting, I wrote an article, and I send it to anybody who wants it. Because right now I'm not undefeated, but I'm like 7-1. Like nice. it's wild. Like yeah, I'm
that's awesome.
I'm very far along, but I'm like the trick is to be funny. Yeah, like be funny when you roast people.
When I did a couple roasts in Chicago, it was not like really community as far as, you know, it's like a secret. And then important people like message you and make anything off the table.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. Is there anything like thing you want to tell me about your past? Maybe I don't know, to give me a little bit, or like you just go through their Facebook, or even write together.
And is there like, something a lot you of think cities, would make a like, funny joke? Yeah. Like, is there something that you think should be included? Like that I'm missing?
Yeah,
and it'll be like, oh yeah, you know what, you could do this
when I was
this
age.
Like, do you want to do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and it's but it was like immediately. People will be like, "Oh, I'm gonna do my first roast. I'm really excited." I'm like, "Do you want the article?" And they're just like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "I've been giving this article to everybody." I'm like, "That's awesome. these are like my tips for writing roast jokes. This is if you know cover these bases. I've noticed that people are getting really good at this."
Yeah,
and I sent it to Matt Mugg and Benny Boshi, who are both newer comics. Their first roast ended up top five,
nice
national.
Nice.
I was like, holy. And he was like, yeah, I used your article. And that's I was like, good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good, dude. Like, I was like, this is.
Smash Dovey.
I was like, this feels amazing. Like, yeah. I was like, this is wonderful. And I'm like, I don't think I'm like personally responsible for, you know, these people. But I'm like, I'm glad that I was able to like, to be like, hey, let me shorten this learning curve for you. Yeah. And you can do better, so I don't have to keep coming to these roasts. They're crappy. Like,
oh. I do the same thing with my chocolate chip cookie recipe, which I give it out freely, and I tell people, it's not supposed to be a secret. Yeah. If you do it this way, you'll make really good cookies, and I'll have a good chance of having good cookies.
I will have some of those. Yeah, you'll probably let me have a cookie.
Yeah.
There's
don't gatekeep the cookies or the comedy. All right,
Bianca Del Rio is a really good drag. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, she's roaster. Funny.
I always want to call her Benicio del Toro for some reason, but the thing that's really great is you take something that's a little flaw of somebody, and then you so over the top criticize it.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, someone's a little bit older, and you're like, oh yeah, you know, they were good friends with Thomas Jefferson. Yeah. They were pissed because they thought, I'm going to get to write the Declaration of Independence, you know. And that's funny because it's so absurd that no one's going to get upset if you're just going to like, oh, I noticed you're getting a couple of gray hairs, and you kind of leave it at that. It's like, it's too real. It's that's too a little, mean. Yeah,
too much of a nitpick. Too much like something your mom would say to you. You know, it's just like, oh, that's annoying. No, you have to, like, you really have, I think, take it to as extreme as it can go. Because clearly, at this point, it's like, it's not that big of an issue. Mm. It's just a reason to make a joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's all roasting is just context for more joke writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild that people would want to, like, keep that a secret. Like, they're just like, I'm gonna really give it to this guy. And I'm like, no, this is, I was like, nobody really, I feel like sometimes I feel that some comics just do not take the audience into consideration.
No. That's why some roasts are really hard to watch.
And it just becomes
too inside baseball. Nobody.
Too inside baseball. And it becomes more about like you just getting the meanest thing in for your own satisfaction. Yeah. We're going to come back to this on KXRW, Independent Radio Vancouver. This is It's Fine. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And I'm Steven.
Okay, we'll be back.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com. ¶¶
Welcome back to It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lindeal.
And I am Steven.
We're talking about comedy, collaboration.
Roasting. In a good way.
Substance abuse.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I'm just like, I mean, I've done sober roasts and I'm like, I'm at a point that I feel comfortable enough in it that I'm like, okay. But that's another thing that it's like, I gotta get wasted so these people can be mean to me.
I have to say this story now because we talked about community roasting and substance abuse. Can I tell you about the first time I roasted anybody?
Yes.
Okay. In Chicago, my downstairs neighbor, Brandon Kiefer, also a comedian and a locksmith, and I had my school bus that I was just about to leave Chicago in. So both had these large, obnoxious vehicles in our neighborhood, and I'd always joke about, like, yeah, Brandon Kiefer, like, lives beneath me. Like, no, literally, he lives in the apartment underneath, but also, like, beneath me. So we would, like, roast each other in, like, playful way all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I was making fun of him. Hey, dirty hippie, my armpit hair. And I'm like, hey, you greasy little, you know, raccoon, because he's just, like, a little trash panda. Just and he's a greasy little southern boy. We would just roast each other constantly. That was, like, our whole friendship. Mm-hmm. And so there was a roast show, I forget what it was called. Maybe it'll come to me later, it doesn't matter. But it had like fun games in it too, where like you have to do a roast as like this just in, like you're a reporter, person, blah, blah, blah. So they had different like challenges. I like begged to let me and Brandon Kiefer roast each other because I first wanted to roast a comedian I actually did not like I actually hated this dude. And the host very wisely said, no, you roast people you love. If it's just two people who hate each other, like it gets mean, it's not very fun. Yeah. And like I do silly games in it. I want it to be like a fun, friendly thing. So I was like, okay, cool. Because I was like, I was going to rip this guy a new one.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, Brandon Kiefer, duh, we're going to go at this. I harassed Brandon to do it. He kept saying no. Finally, he said yes. I get so excited. We go to this, Chicago is the Wild West, by the way. So much alcohol. Speaking of substance use, dear Lord. 3 a.m. turn into 4 a.m. bars.
Wow, yeah.
4 a.m. bars turn into 5 a.m.
They drink Malort. That's all you need to know.
Godless heathens, and they're my favorite Midwestern
animals. It is a town that you got to have yourself together.
I think you sure do, and I sure didn't. Because I was in my 20s. But Brandon drove the locksmith van. I left my bus house. Mm-hmm. We got the drinking package. It was also at an open mic. So you pay like $20 to get a wristband. You get like, for I think an hour or two, like free well drinks.
Whoa.
So we're getting wasted. We're talking trash. We're having so much fun. We are so excited.
Mm-hmm.
We leave that event.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wake up at my apartment. And I was like, what happened? What happened with that roast? Like, did I say words?
Yeah.
So later, Brandon Kiefer, I was like, hey, bud, don't remember the roast. I'm just going to assume I crushed you. And he's like, do you remember anything? I was like, nope. He's like, it's embarrassing. And I was like, is it? And he's like, it's embarrassing. And I was like, tell me. I walked into that bar. I vaguely remember like getting into the bar and seeing the bartender, a friend of mine. That's about it from that evening. So he's like, as soon as we got there, we're roasting each other in the van. As soon as we get there, he's like, I can tell you're like pretty drunk. And he's like, all right, it's fine. He's like, we walk in the venue. You just start getting so excited talking to the bartender. You like completely forget we're doing a roast show.
Oh.
And then I'm like starting to brown out. So I'm like, you know, I'm like laughing, but I'm like fading. He's like, oh, God.
He's like, uh-oh.
So he goes, Hannibal Buress showed up to that roast, sat in the front row. We get on stage. They call your name 3 times. Finally, you get on stage and you're just like giggling in the microphone. Like you're having a great time, but you don't know what's going on. And he's like, I feel like I shouldn't roast her. She's not going to remember. And of course, people are laughing because I'm just like, and like, he did a couple jokes. And then they're like, Amanda, are you going to say anything? I was like, you're a trash person. You literally live underneath me. I was like, I love you so much, man. And that's like all I did.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I was like, so I won, right?
So they gave it to me, right?
So where's my crown? First roast, blackout drunk, with my best friend in Chicago, mm-hmm. Hannibal Buress, witnessed that.
Oh, my goodness.
But now Hannibal doesn't drink anymore. But at the time, I saw him black. So we were even.
I'm sure. Everybody's had a little turn at it, you know?
Yep. But it was like, it was so casual to just like talk trash to my friend.
Oh, yeah.
And then after a show that he did outside, he was like, do you want to actually do the roast? Like with our friends, we just started doing the roast jokes from that. And people were like, oh, that was good. I was like, yeah, if I wasn't blackout drunk. So like, we actually had that roast like outside of a venue with our friends while we were smoking cigarettes. Yeah. And so we got to actually have that moment. And it was cute because he's like, you bullied me into doing that and you blacked out. I was like, yeah, I'm an idiot. He's like, I don't want to kick you while you're down. So now let's do it for real. It was cute. Yeah. Shout out to Brandon Keefe.
Oh my gosh.
It's the nature of creativity. It's like there are some big ass bumps in the road.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can if you can get past it, you might become really successful doing comedy. And if you can't get past it, but you're willing to experience it, it will help inform you to be a better person with other stuff.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to drink a lot in Chicago. I was in my 20s. I was a server. I was new to comedy. I had stage fright. And then, like, I just got to the point where I want to remember stuff more. I want to be more present. I want to, like, bomb and feel that and not run away from it. And then go to another mic and do better and feel good about it. Like,
and, like,
be I definitely like, took breaks. And I took breaks. It was terrifying. But I learned so much when I wasn't just going out to hang and get drunk and then also do an open mic, which is what happens sometimes. You just end up, this is my social thing. So I'm going to hang out. We're going to have some drinks. I guess I'll do an open mic.
It is a very, like, And I think people are, people get weird about their, they're just like, oh, sometimes this scene is just too social. It's like high school. And I'm just like, you don't want us to be friends? Like,
Also,
I was like, what do you mean?
You're like, friends with everyone, just like high school. Find your people.
You can just hang out with who you want to hang out with. And they're just like, oh, it's just, this shouldn't. And I'm just like, we're not at work, actually.
We're coworkers, but in like a job that's not real. So.
Yeah. I tell Kyle this all the time.
Yeah. We're fake coworkers.
I was like, he's like, well, we work together. And I was like, this is not, this is not my job. Okay. Yeah.
Real loose.
Then he gets all mad. He's like, what's my job? I'm just like, oh, honey. I was like, it is work.
Gig.
I was like, it is work, but it's not your job. Dude.
Yeah. That's true.
I was like, I have a job.
That's true. There's a difference between work and a job.
Yeah.
Jordan has a job.
That's a job.
I do like, some work every once in a while.
I work full time at my job.
You know, the thing is that there is something that is your craft or that you put effort into, and that really, if someone is a flower arranger, you're like, well, that's not really work. It's like, well, it can be, and also, but it's something that you put your efforts into, and being present and the thing that you care about can be very scary.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Man, it's like, have some faith in yourself. Yeah. You know, learn the best version of yourself by being present.
Yeah. I think the one thing that got me like over my stage fright, I always used to feel scared because people don't like me. That's why I would get the nerves, because I know I can be very like, you know, divisive or whatever. But I also know I'm a very friendly person and I have a lot of different friends, you know. So I instead of being like, I hope people like me and having that be like me feeling anxious when I get on stage, I would just talk to people like they're already my friend. So that was how I went about it. I was like, we're already friends. We already talk. We already hang out. And then you just talk to people like that and treat them like that. They're like, okay. So you can say wild stuff. People feel like you're not worried about them judging you. You're not judging them. You're just being playful, like
already,
in the moment.
We're already buddies. I've been looking up a lot of stuff about clown performance.
Oh, yeah.
That like really resonates with comedy lately, and a lot of it is like, trust yourself, and if you're not having fun, they can tell.
Yes, that's so true.
And you need to change that.
You do.
And maybe fun. You know, sometimes sometimes drinking just doesn't hide that the way you think it should.
That's fair. Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you next time on It's Fine on KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver. I'm Faith.
I'm Amanda Lindeal.
And I'm Steven.
We'll see you later.